then you can go into it like this.
Test, test, yeah. Good morning or good day, everybody, and welcome to the third NIS lecture of the year. Today we have an NTNU internal but Gjøvik external speaker, Hao Wang from NTNU in Ålesund. NTNU is an associate professor and the head of the Big Data Lab in the Faculty of ICT and Natural Science in NTNU Ålesund. And the title of today's lecture is Software Certification for Software Intensive Safety Critical Software. And on that, I leave you the floor, Hao.
Okay. Tusen takk. So it's actually my first time here in Gjøvik. It's a very interesting city compared to Ålesund. By the way, I came from Canada, so I spent 6 years there, so I know how to deal with snow, no problem. So by the way, my name is How Wonderful, if you guys actually want to remember me. Yeah? Easier to remember, you know, some Chinese name, you know. Yeah. Because I purposely do that because many people tend to pronounce my name wrong. When I first arrived in Canada, and then my supervisor, because I did a postdoc there, and then she pronounced my name as Hel Wang, and then well, no. And then I tried to correct her, and then finally she remembered, yeah, how wrong could you be? But anyway, my background is I did my PhD thesis, it's about 10, 11 years ago, on fair exchange protocol. So that basically is apply cryptography. Basically, we concerned about the fairness in the electronic transactions. But this topic is kind of quiet now. But and then I spent 4 years. Yeah, that is my first 4 years in Canada, in Nova Scotia. It's a very nice town. It's small, comparable to Orison. And then I do some workflow modeling, so I know a bit about formal verification, modeling language, software engineering, all those stuff, semantics, syntactics, like those stuff. And then 2 years in McMaster in Canada, working on that project I'm going to talk about today, software certification. Now I'm leading the Big Data Lab in Orison. And we have a couple projects going on. So, because in Orison is a unique place, so we have industries. So, especially maritime. So, upcoming in the second half of this year, we're gonna have a MAROF. That is about using data for ship design. And then last year we did a data analytics project for AIS, that is the radio transmission on board a vessel. That is actually a very interesting topic because I already talked to some of the colleagues here. It has major security defects. And we do a lot of industrial education, so we trying to have all these industrial courses. And then I'm involved in the organization of international conferences. So by the way, I'm organizing one topic, that is big data and IIoT for the ocean. So please consider submission. The deadline is about in 1 month, so you will have time. International collaboration, I work with Chinese, Macau, and Canada. Here is the framework we're trying to build up. It's basically combining visualization and analytics models. But that is not the focus of today. Today, basically, I do want to bring in this safety critical expert of the system we are looking at. So, first thing, requirement engineering. And then software certification, then we have safety analysis, assurance case. Assurance case, I don't know, have you guys ever heard of it? Safety case, it has another name, safety case, or assurance case. That is a closely related term with safety analysis. Okay, and we do have some kind of goal in mind. So, for example, IoT security is the rising topic now. So everybody talking about IoT nowadays. So, but the technology roughly is still the same. You still need to talk about communication security, embedded system security, all kind of security, basically. So still the same thing. But a lot of activity over there. For example, they have this contest each year, 5 million RMB. And these people, by the way, I don't know whether you guys, as a security expert, do you guys actually follow Black Hat Conference? Because this is more like the engineering part. It's not like so much about academic, right? So they have a lot of hardcore hackers there. They actually hack systems. You know, they have fierce competition of all this hacking, and oftentimes they got very good results actually. So later I'm gonna talk about one particular case from Black Hat Conference actually, because it's closely related to the topic of our previous project in Canada. So this project basically is led by these guys. And we're trying to look at insulin pumps. I'm gonna cover in quite detail about insulin pumps, okay? And these guys, I'm trying to bring attention to this campus as well, because I maintain the collaboration with them. They are one of the leading group in certification and safety analysis. So this is their webpage. So basically, they are called McMaster Center for Software Certification. And very importantly, they initiate this consortium. It's called Software Certification Consortium. And this consortium actually is very interesting because they have roughly like two meetings each year. And in those meetings, they actually get together a lot of top professors, mainly from USA, and then they also have government agencies, industrials. So government agencies including FDA, that is the Drug Administration, NASA, and I don't remember the Nuclear Power Agency or whatever. So basically, these guys, they run several large projects, one for nuclear power plant, one for car industry. So they look at the safety analysis for this problem. And then we have these medical devices. Okay, very interesting, actually. So this consortium is something I actually try to get NTNU security people involved somehow, if that is interesting, because they actually have a lot of activities. Okay, so why insulin pump in that project, particular project? Because this consortium has been challenged by FDA actually. So FDA approached them, saying, right now we do have a problem. The first problem that FDA approached them actually is the pacemaker that related to the heart. And then the second problem is this insulin pump. So that is the number, that is the old number, because I didn't check the updated number. But you can see the so-called adverse event. Because all this report, they're public. FDA actually have a public database. You can just go on to the website and then look at like insulin pump and from which manufacturer and how many people die and how many people injure. Well, it's public database, okay? And also, from Black Hat, both this so-called CGM and insulin pumps, they've both been hacked. And that is the scary part. Luckily, it's being hacked by White Hat hacker, but still, hack. Here is one of the report, news article. So basically, you can see the dates. 2010, FDA find problems across manufacturers. So problem. And then this guy, later I will include some information like the hack by this guy. So this guy actually demonstrated to the cloud that both CGM and insulin pump, they're hackable. by using the wireless communication. It's totally hackable because the wireless channel communicating between the controller is too simple, too naive. And then because preparing for this lecture, and then I look it up in Google again, and then I saw this news again. That is 2016. So this news article popped up again because we already noticed this problem several years ago, but suddenly this problem popped up again in 2016. So now I can tell you a little bit about CGM and insulin pumps. What exactly is a CGM? So CGM, basically, you want to continuously monitor your glucose level. So this reader basically has a wireless sensor with a little wire that directly inject to your skin. Okay. So basically, and then this thing will have a little pager that you can read from time to time, seeing the reading of your glucose level. Because this is mainly for convenience, right? So normally when you emphasize too much on convenience or usability, you have security threat. It's always like this. Yeah. So because you want convenience here, you want to read your reading, glucose level, because otherwise you will do the traditional way, just do a blood test. But blood test is intrusive, so people don't like that. So that is why they prefer this kind of things. So you can do security attack to this quite easily. So you can just, especially for the injection, trying to get some incorrect reading, then the patient become panic and do more insulin, kill himself easily. And insulin pump is on the other side. Insulin pump is basically is another device injecting insulin to your body continuously, 24/7. So they have a basic dosage, and whenever before a meal, you plan to eat a meal, then you will eat extra amount to compensate the sugar you ate from the meal. So that is the idea. So less insulin or more insulin will both harm you or even kill you. So basically, this device is also being hacked. That is the big problem. So the first hack by Jay Radcliffe, basically mainly looking at the wireless communication. Yeah, but his hack actually need a serial number of that device. So that is why he himself can hack his own device. Because, by the way, Radcliffe himself is a diabetes patient, so that is why he's so interested, and he's a hacker as well. And then this legendary figure, Barnaby Jack, he had two ATM machines, if you guys don't know his name. But this guy made the hack one step further. So without a serial number of any equipment, he actually can hack using this little antenna in the picture. So basically, he can control all devices within 300 feet. And basically can manipulate any kind of injection to the patient's body. So if you want to kill somebody, yeah, you kill. So, yeah. And very interesting story about this legendary figure, Barnaby. Because he also hacked the pacemaker. He is about to announce his hack in, I think it's Black Hat 2013. And then a couple of days right before his presentation, he mysteriously hanged himself in his own house. And the hackers obviously will have a lot of hypotheses on his death, because he gonna expose the hack, and a lot of pacemaker will be recalled, and that is a large expense to the manufacturer, very expensive actually. And the way ahead, because I actually heard when I first moved to Norway, I actually heard some Norwegian company also trying to develop this artificial pancreas. That is the next step. So basically, you try to link CGM with insulin pump, get rid of the people in the loop. So no human intervention. You just do automatic reading, your automatic injection. That is the idea. And for that, Jay Radcliffe actually has some comment there, because that is even more scary, because, well, wrong reading, wrong injection, kill people. So if you are evil, then there is a lot of threats. Okay. Here I stole some slides from a prominent professor in MIT, and she explained this safety reliability quite nicely, so that is why I stole the slides. Safety and reliability. These two things, they are not equivalent. That is the problem. Safety, freedom from losses. You try to eliminate hazards. And then reliability, freedom from failures. It's about failure, so you don't want the failure. Okay. And type of evidence, and here is another very interesting information. So, many accidents occur without any component failure. So, even each component is strong and robust, but if they're working together with each other, it still might cause troubles, accidents. So that is why we need a more systematic way to look at the safety, accidents, and causality. So the objective for this particular project, we're trying to look at the development process for the device manufacturer side. Of course, they're not very happy with us because we're trying to attack them, right? And also, we look at the process from the certifier point of view, because we've been approached by FDA, not by the manufacturer. So, existing practice. So at that time, we look at the standards. It's all about standards. You know, standard is expensive practice, you know, standards. So at that time, the certifier, they mainly do their certification mainly based on process. So basically, they will look at your development process because it's governed by that international standard, 63304, that one. This standard governs the development process of device. So basically, you are saying, if you follow the development process, then I assume you produce the correct product. So in this standard, they didn't mention too much about the quality of the end product. They mainly look at your process, right? And then FDA actually want to make change. Then they introduce this notion, so-called assurance case, safety case, because FDA turned it safety case. In safety case, basically, you have to say, in this safety case, basically, you have to make a claim that your device is safe to use in this scenarios. Under these assumptions, it's fine. Well, outside these cases, well, maybe it's not my responsibility then. So that is the idea of the safety cases. Okay. By the way, here is the standard we look at United States, European Union, Canada, they all have different kind of guidelines and international standards. So basically, we have to look at the existing practice and try to find holes and problems and try to give some suggestion to this government's people, saying, you're doing something wrong here, doing that, something wrong there. So for the development, is complicated. So this is the challenge for a manufacturer. So basically, you have to follow rules and regulations, and those are expensive practice, by the way, and process-based regulations. But FDA didn't specify a detailed development cycle, so that is another problem. Safety, security, and then here is the prominent professor from MIT commented. Most accidents result from errors in specified requirements. So if you do the requirement wrong, you have problem. And for certification, we have a bunch of problems. But then, you see, we want to look at the product itself, yes? And we want to have a better hazard analysis approach. And FDA also have a hard time certifying products. They normally have a long line waiting. So that is one problem, certification time. Okay, so what we did in that project? This project actually is a difficult project actually. Not much math, not much algorithm, but you know, some weight laws and then regulations and this kind of thing. It's not easy. So the first thing we do is trying to look at perspective from the requirement engineering point of view. So at least we look at existing recommended requirement templates, including the IEEE ones, because the templates will actually have a big impact on the manufacturers. Because the manufacturers say, well, here is the template you recommended. I fill in all those content into this template. Then I done my business. So that is the it's like some kind of like guideline. So we have to have a good guidelines so that those manufacturers can actually follow to do the right things to produce better products. So that is the main motivation. Yeah. And also requirement elicitation, because we have requirement experts there. And requirement is a boring process, but actually is the most important process in the software development cycle. And it's very lengthy, and you never cover fully, and the customer always want to change their requirements. So, very difficult. So that is why we actually propose like the system perspectives and thinking about actors. That is the environmental actors, and they will initiate events interacting with your system. So that is the idea, is you're trying to look at the main actors who will interact with your system and standing on the perspective of each actor and trying to analyze the point of view from this particular actor. And of course, product family, that is another very interesting topic. So, and we try to use Event B to formalize the process of the glucose system in the human body. So that is one work, equals to about roughly one or two papers. And then we do hazard analysis. Hazard analysis, that is quite interesting as well, because this is an interesting aspect that I want to somehow push to do to other domains. Because FTA, FMEA, you can see the age of these two methods. FTA is from 1962, and then FMEA is from 1950s. And I talked to maritime people, captains, risk analysis experts, because I talked to the teacher who teach this course for the maritime people. And he only teach FMEA. 50s, please. We are dealing with software, computers, nowadays. On board a vessel, here is one problem. Top down and bottom up, they have good stuff. But the problem actually is the old safety engineering techniques, which were based on a much simpler analog world, are diminishing in their effectiveness as the course of accidents changes. Because you involve a lot of computers nowadays. It's not just analog any longer. So the problem. So that is why I actually trying to inform you guys about this new method proposed by Nancy, the prominent MIT professor. She's been pushing this method for many years already. So she worked for NASA. She worked for nuclear. She worked for military. She worked for maritime. So she worked for all kinds of domains. So this method, somehow, I'm very interested to somehow have some kind of activities, research, development, projects, activities for the application domain here in Norway. That is one of my passion. Although I'm leading the big data lab, but I want to do some, because one problem I find people nowadays that keep talking about big data, data analysis, fancy machine learning algorithms. But what are you serving? What kind of requirements and what kind of need you are fulfilling? You are talking about recommendation on Amazon, eBay, that's fine. Just additional information trying to push you to buy stuff. But we are talking about industrial safety critical system here. And one of the most important need from the industry actually is safety and security. So first you should serve the safety and security requirements. Then you talk about functionality, usability, convenience. That is the deal. We differentiate between IoT and IIoT. So for the IIoT, you have to talk about safety. Yeah. So I don't have much longer time to go deep into this method. But this method actually has a systematic controller control process perspective. So according to MIT, it's more effective to identify cause, identify accidents, events. So we also trying to do something for the insulin pump. So basically we asked two master students to perform FMECA and STPA individually on the same simplified model. And then we come up with a list of requirements. Although the two master students, they haven't done a very good job, but at least they come up with a list of requirements. And then we formalize those requirements using, you know, very serious EVMB. And that is another paper for that. And also, because assurance cases now is a very important topic in the consortium, so several big groups, they actually working on that. So we publish one or two papers on that. So in summary, although I'm doing big data and IoT and all these things, but I actually want to work with you guys, the security and safety experts here in Jurvik, and probably including Trondheim, is to find out the safety and security requirements. Then we use big data as one of the tools to fulfill that requirement. So that is something I really want to push. Okay? So, here I concluded my lecture, and I very much like to listen to comments and ideas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hao. And then we open up for questions. Hey,
Niall,
is the
computer
popping up, or
are
you...
Ah, nice.
Mm. And there were some management elements, I believe, in your talk.
Oh, yeah.
You have the glucose measurement device.
Yeah, CGM.
The pump.
Yeah, the pump.
And then there's been some incidents.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. And then there was a, should I say, a directory where all the products were listed, FDA.
Yeah,
site.
In that database, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Saying how many people got killed.
Yeah, got killed, got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is bad incidents.
Yeah.
Bad publicity, presumably, for the vendors.
Yeah.
Okay, so one way to manage security mm-hmm. is to kind of make it public when things go wrong.
Yeah.
Such that the company will feel that, you know, they're
under pressure.
Google is going down.
Exactly. Yeah. At least the black hat people, they actually, especially when the hat first come up, the first hat come up, the. His hat, because he published his hat in a public conference, and that caused a lot of controversies because a lot of diabetes patients attacked him, saying, well, you're actually inviting the evil people to hack us. But the Radcliffe actually has a point that because I exposed the defects so that the manufacturer should protect it. And that is why if you actually look at the latest news on this topic, this is 2016 news articles, and Johnson & Johnson, because of this pressure, they actually taking actions. It's not like previously, well, they just pushed them away. But right now, it's like under pressure, they actually trying to fix it. So I see, somehow I can feel some progress. But you actually have a very valid concern, actually, because we have a close conversation with FDA, that is the certifier. But when we try to approach manufacturer, because that is a Medtronic, one of the biggest producer of insulin pump office, right in Canada. It's not that far away from our campus. They refuse to talk to us. You know, we try to help you, but no, please.
yes, so you can stay on that slide would be interesting because, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
As you know, I've been in this industry too long. In 2001, I was actually in a meeting with Johnson & Johnson, the
Okay. Okay.
And there are different standards.
Mm.
And what I find so interesting is that I work in all these different silos.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not taking stuff from the military intelligence community.
Yeah.
You're not taking stuff from the telecom community. And it seems that these hacker things, whatever, don't support that. And
mm. Again. Really?
Yes.
Seriously? I will ask my professor in McMaster then.
Yes.
Why?
They're not allowed to.
Okay. But at least right now, last time I heard from them, they're actually talking to Lockheed Martin. So I don't see, you know, it's not that sensitive anyways. But yeah.
But the point is,
mm-hmm.
I think what should be done in your field
mm.
is to look at the other side.
Oh, yeah. Because right now, because you see, currently I'm working with a lot of captains. That is the maritime industry. And there is some wise suggestion from several people already saying, we should somehow follow the steps of aviation. The plane designer already accomplished a lot, way ahead than the shipbuilders. So we should, because it's a similar situation, yeah. It depends.
Do you know what the common criteria is?
What is that?
So these are international standards that have been going on software assurance for the last 30 years.
Okay.
So basically your community is starting over again from what we done 30 years ago.
Okay.
But that we have to talk. Yeah, that's why I have to talk. So we can talk.
But that standard is serving for the computer software or? Computer software.
Yes.
Interesting. We should have known that, right?
Well, no, but I think the point is we have to get across this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I totally believe that. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
No, that's why I still haven't figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And they spread this device to many countries in the world.
Mm.
But each and every country has their own legal law and
yeah.
regulation and other things.
Yeah.
So what are the challenges that they face because of this difference in this law and regulation, and what are the opportunities they also gain? Because let's say if there's a country where these laws are not so strict, then maybe
mm-hmm.
they
Mm.
consent of the patient and they can use it.
Mm.
So it's like a trade-off that in some countries they face severe problem, but at the same time they can make some dubious business model based because of the vulnerability in the law and regulation of the country.
Yeah, that is one of the existing problems. You see, the recall, recall of some products. It happens in some country, but it doesn't happen in some other countries. So we have noticed these problems already. But that is one of the challenge for development already, because you see the first line there, because this is subject to government laws. So you have to submit different documents to each government, basically, if you want to sell your product in that particular country. So that is why the device manufacturer, they will need to know all those laws in all different countries. So that is one of the challenge. But at least there is some coherence, I believe, in some of those big countries' standards. You know, they talk to each other, so they're not trying to conflicting each other, so at least. So, but of course, there are always outliers out there. So, yeah.
More questions? Not then, courses, we go to a student for the student question twice. Is meeting this time?
So you guys give prize to a student for that? We should do that in Olsen, you know? Okay.
Thank you for the great talk.
Okay. So I will drink this cup in Olsen.
Yeah. Excellent. You can fill it down with coffee here. We can make
coffee. No, because right now I'm bringing my MacMaster mob all the time in Olsen. So, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.